When readers browse Amazon, they have already decided that they're going to buy a book today. The question is just, which book are they going to buy? If only there was a way to reach readers in this special moment when they're already ready to buy, where you're not having to convince them to buy the book, you're only having to convince them to choose your book as one of the books they buy. Well, there is, and it's called Amazon Advertising. This is where you pay Amazon to prominently feature your book in search and on book pages on Amazon.com and in the app. And it has become one of the most popular forms of book promotion for indie authors. But many authors feel daunted by the idea of Amazon ads. How do you get started? How do you know if your ads are even working or if they're profitable? And what should you do if the ads are not working? Well, find out in this episode of Novel Marketing, the longest running book marketing podcast in the world. I'm Thomas Emstat Jr., CEO of Author Media, and this is the show for writers who want to build their platform, sell more books, and make a living writing books worth talking about. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast by clicking follow in the podcast app on your phone. And if you're watching on YouTube, just click subscribe. And we have a special guest on the show today who knows a lot about Amazon ads. She's an award-winning Christian suspense novelist and a USA Today bestseller who's written over 40 books. She also runs the Successful Writers Academy to help writers like you reach their dreams of achieving creative and commercial success. Alana Terry, welcome to the Novel Marketing Podcast.
Thank you so much. So fun to be here.
So Alana, I have to ask, there's a lot of places to advertise a book. Why should authors advertise on Amazon?
Well, you already kind of mentioned it in the intro. One of the big reasons is that people are browsing Amazon. If they're on the Kindle store, they're already browsing Amazon to look for a book. And really, that's where your ads are going to be seen. It's not like your ad's going to be likely to pop up when somebody types in cat litter, right? Unless maybe you're a veterinarian who's written a book about the best cat litter. So if you're a novelist or if you've written any type of ebook or print book, when somebody is on Amazon in the Kindle store or in their bookstore, they're looking for books and they're browsing for books. And so you can be on the top of the searches. There's lots of places that Amazon ads appear. And so when we talk about Amazon ads, we're really talking about this entire ecosystem of placements. So sometimes they're on searches. So imagine if I search in how to become a podcaster, and let's say you've written a book on that subject. If your ad pops up at the very top of the search, I'm going to be way more likely to click it than if the algorithm somehow just placed your book at number 20 or something like that. So another place your ads are going to show up are on the sales pages for similar books. So let's say I've written a book about how to start a podcast and someone's browsing on my page and your book is also on there. Someone might see your book and be like, oh, Thomas, I recognize that name. He runs this podcast that I listen to. And then they'll click on your ad from there and end up buying your book. So it's lots of places that your book can get visibility. And it's reaching people looking for a book specifically on that subject.
Yeah, I was working on a presentation where I'm talking about the history of nonfiction. So I was looking up old copies of What to Expect When You're Expecting. Mm-hmm. And I saw that the most recent edition of What to Expect When You're Expecting was advertising on the old editions of What to Expect.
Oh, smart.
Because they're competing against buying a used copy of the third edition when you could buy a new copy of the fourth edition. And I was like, what a savvy place to advertise. Because these people not only have decided to buy a book, but they've also potentially decided to buy a What to Expect book. So now it's just like, hey, would you like to buy the most recent book with the great latest in scientific discoveries? And I'm like, they're probably getting a really high conversion rate on that. But you can also advertise on competing books, right? There's some other book on pregnancy. You could advertise on that.
Mm-hmm. Or what I love to do is if you have a series. So if anybody is on any of your book series pages. So I've got a 9-book Christian suspense series. If you go to any of those sales pages, most days you'll probably see ads for the 8 other books in that series on that page. And some people think, well, isn't that a waste of time and energy and money and space? But it's so good for brand awareness to have it there. And one great thing about Amazon ads is you're only charged if somebody clicks. And so I kind of see this as a free billboard for the rest of my books. It makes my books look more branded, more recognizable, more popular. And it also means that someone's less likely to click on one of Amazon ads and get taken to someone else's book.
It's also a defensive strategy. Something mm-hmm. I've noticed is a lot of traditionally published authors, their publishers aren't advertising on their behalf. And so when you type in that author's name on Amazon, the whole first page of results or the whole first scrolling page of results are competing authors with very similar books, often with very similar covers and titles. And these are indie authors who are scooping up that traditional author's market share and readers. Because the reader may not even notice at first, or they were going for author A, but then they see author B and they're like, ooh, that looks good. And now they just lost a sale of somebody who came there to buy their book. So I would say if you're traditionally published, this is one thing to ask your publisher. Be like, hey, are you going to advertise on my name? Are you going to buy ads on my name promoting your book? And for how long are you going to do that before you're willing to give up that territory to the indie authors? And one thing to consider is if you are traditionally published, it may be worth it to have at least a indie book that you can profitably advertise for your name. Because it used to be you couldn't advertise on Amazon at all if you're traditional. Now you can, it just doesn't financially make any sense. So the only authors who are able to do it profitably are the indie authors. There's millions of books on Amazon, right? How do I know which ones would work for me to promote under the similar titles like this?
Yeah, so one thing I love to do, there are different ways that you can tell Amazon to place your ads. I like making keyword ads. And the kind of secret for those is you think about what are people going to be searching. So in the case of your hypothetical book, I don't think you've written a book on podcasting as of yet. So in that case, instead of just having podcast be your keyword, like people aren't going to Amazon.com, going to the search bar and typing podcast, right? They might be typing in, how do I start a podcast, or how to start a podcast, or podcasting for authors, or podcasting for novelists, or podcasting for pastors, or, you know, whatever niche you're in. So when you're creating a keyword ad, one of the big tips is to really be thinking about what people are searching for. Most of the time, the keyword ads that I like to make are author names. I would say 70 to 80% of them are my names, the name of my books, the name of my series. And then 30% are the names of similar authors. And Amazon now allows predictive text to help you. So like, for example, if I went in and set up a keyword ad and I typed in Alana Terry, it would probably give me a dozen other suggestions. It would say Alana Terry novels, Alana Terry Christian fiction, Alana Terry Christian suspense, right? And so you can just click one button and grab all of those. So it saves time. And like you said, targeting your name is a defensive strategy. I think about it also just for the brand recognition, right? When somebody types in Alana Terry, I want my books to be what comes up and what they get associated with. One thing I like to tell authors is to never shy away from targeting someone else and never get upset when someone targets you, right? Some of the ads, like if you go to your Amazon sales page, and let's say you and I both wrote books about podcasting. If I was on my sales page and I saw your book for podcasters being advertised on that page, I think as a brand new, amateur, insecure author, I might say, what in the world is Thomas doing? Why is he on my lawn? Why is he trying to steal my readers?
But get off my lawn.
It really can feel that way. Okay, but first of all, a large number of the ads that authors make are like either automatic or some authors throw in tons of keywords. So it's very unlikely that you thought to yourself, whose life do I want to ruin and steal books from today, right? And then you, oh, I'm going to type in Alana, right? So yeah, maybe you did deliberately choose my name, in which case my reaction should be, wow, I'm glad I'm on Thomas's radar that he thinks my book is similar. For novelists, what I like to say is you don't want to be the only great novelist in your genre, because then nobody's going to care about that genre. They're going to read through your books and there's nothing that's going to carry them until you've written your next book. And so Don't get upset when other people are advertising on your page. Don't feel bad when you're targeting someone else. And don't do it with a nasty heart, right? Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I can't believe Thomas wrote a book that's like mine. I'm going to steal his readers, right? Just say, okay, this is how ads work. Thomas's readers will probably like my books. And so, you know, it's growing the readership. Two, there's something about collectively the authors in a specific genre are elevating that genre.
One way to think of this is this concept of clustering or agglomeration in business, where the department stores actually want to be near each other, right? Mm-hmm. There's the Diamond District in New York City where all the diamond sellers are all on one street together. And this is actually a really powerful business principle, because if you have all the diamond shops are all in the Diamond District and you have one that's way far away, people are drawn to the Diamond District to buy their diamonds. And that one shop far away often doesn't actually do very well. There is an incentive in the market to be near your competitors. And this, I think, is really true for authors, right? Let's say we've got half a dozen Christian historical romance authors, right? And they're all advertising on each other's pages. And then you have the seventh one who's off on her own and not advertising and not being advertised on it. And she's kind of isolated. She's not going to do better because no one's advertising on her page. And she's not going to get any spillover effects of like, oh, well, I like this person, so maybe I'll like this other person as well. And as authors, we really have to realize that our competition is Netflix, not each other.
That's a good way to put it.
Right? Because people can choose to watch Netflix. They can choose to play video games, or they can choose to read a book. And the more good books they find, the more they turn into the kind of person who reads books, which boosts us all collectively.
Absolutely. Another area that authors sometimes get hung up is, why should I pay Amazon to target my name? Right? If somebody's going to type in Alana Terry into the search bar, that means they're looking for an Alana Terry novel. So why do I want to give Amazon 50 cents when somebody clicks on my ad? Well, it's for that defensive and it's for that brand awareness. And my most effective ads based on just the profitability are almost always the ones where I use my own name as a keyword.
I know Google has a quality score metric where if you have good results for clicks, or if people really like to click there, the clicks are cheaper for you than for somebody else who's bidding on that same term that's having a lower performance. Does Amazon have a similar quality score element that makes you advertising cheaper for Alana Terry than for me to advertise for Alana Terry?
So they've never fully pulled back the curtain on how their entire algorithm works. But here's what I think of it for common sense. When you try to ask yourself, why is Amazon going to show this ad and not that ad? For example, Amazon's always going to want to do what's best for Amazon. And so if Amazon runs your ad on my page and 80% of people who see your ad end up clicking on it and buying your book, that's going to favorably tell Amazon, show more of this ad to this type of reader, right? That's why I don't love the very general types of keywords like book or novel or even the real overarching like thriller. I don't recommend in most cases using those as your primary keywords because they are so generic. So when you're thinking about keywords, for example, like you had mentioned, you know, the big name trad authors. Let's say I've written a thriller / horror. It's with a female protagonist. It's kind of literary. It's almost like women's fiction with a paranormal freaky element. First thing I might think to myself is, oh, this would be great for Stephen King readers. But it's such a big name. It's like, well, what's really the point? So I actually, when you're looking for similar authors, I recommend finding mid-list and just above mid-list. So the mid-list authors and then the authors who probably aren't household names, but are perhaps still making a pretty good living off of their books and are known and beloved, at least in the subgenre. Those tends to be the best because if you get too broad, if I have a romance and I target Nicholas Sparks, well, lots of people read Nicholas Sparks, even if they're not even necessarily romance readers. Lots of people read Dan Brown because he's Dan Brown, not because they love that genre. And so you definitely can get too general. And then the other thing, if I get way too specific, then it's likely that people just aren't searching for that, right? So if you and I both write a book that's really, really obscure, it's like underwater podcasting for scuba divers, right? Like picking you, yes, it's a perfect fit, but how much traffic are either of us getting? So then we both kind of stay in obscurity.
And celebrity authors will have a lot of kind of novice authors who don't really know what they're doing advertising mm-hmm. on their name just because that's an author they've heard of. Because there's a certain kind of indie author who doesn't really read a lot of books. You know, they only read maybe one book in the last few months or maybe zero in the last few months, especially fiction, especially in their genres. They don't really even know who's out there and who's popular. So they just kind of pick the names that come to mind and they're all bidding against each other. And the clicks for those celebrities are really high, far higher than they have any right to be. So let's go through the process. We've talked about some strategy. I want to get back to strategy, but for some people are like, I don't even know how to get started. I don't understand half the terms you're talking about. So for somebody who's independently published and they're yep. wanting to advertise the book that they already have on Amazon, what's the first step to start advertising?
All right. So you're going to go to your KDP account. That's where your book will be published to Amazon. There's a marketing tab and you'll click on that. And it'll give you an option of which Amazon store do you want to advertise on. I recommend everybody basically start with the .com just because it's the largest audience. And then after that, there are quite a few choices. So I could, do you want me to just give you the step by steps for the simplest way to do it?
Yeah. Walk us through the steps for the quickest path to ground. Let's get not the best ad, the fastest ad.
The fastest ad. Okay. And this is going to be fun for me because I'm going to be doing this like without the screen in front of me. So first, it's going to ask you what type of ad that you want to make. The first option is the sponsored product, and that's what we're going to choose. I recommend beginners always start with the sponsored products. There's other types of ads, and even some of the other types of ads, Amazon like changes up their name, changes up how they look, changes up their requirements. Sponsored products have been steady forever. So treat sponsored products as kind of your bread and butter ad. So you'll select sponsored product when it asks you.
No, wait, let me pause you real quick. So what's a sponsored product? Is this a search ad or is this a ad inside of another book's page?
It actually could be either, but basically it is just a book cover and a tiny bit. You can add a little bit of text, but I'm going to encourage you to not. So basically the ad is going to look like your book cover, its title, your name, and the number of stars. That's going to be what someone sees. It can appear in the search terms. It can appear in several different spots on the sales pages. It can appear in the sponsored product kind of carousel that looks sort of like what we used to call the also bots. So I would select that. Another nice thing about Amazon ads, which makes them really good for beginners, is you don't have to make any graphics, which I loved, especially when you compare it to something like Facebook, you know, where the graphic is really what can make or break your ad. So your book cover is your graphic. So pick sponsored product ads. My suggestion is start with just a $5 a day daily budget. And it will pull up, it will say, which books do you want to advertise? And it will pull from your KDP and your Author Central account and give you those lists of books. If you've got just one book out, it's really easy. You're going to pick that book. If you have a series, though, I do like selecting all the books in that series. And it is totally up to you if you want to do one ad for Kindle and one ad for print, or to save time, I more often than not just throw them all together. It's a little bit more personal preference. So you select the book or books if it's a series, and then you've set a $5 a day daily budget. Then it's going to ask you all kinds of things about targeting. And that's where the Amazon ads sponsored products really can branch out to several different types. The simplest is going to be the automatic ad. So you'll see a little button that says, do you want to do automatic targeting or manual targeting? And you'll pick the automatic targeting. And what that's doing is it's telling Amazon, hey, put this ad where you think is going to be best. And if you think about all the data Amazon has, there's never a scenario in which you know more about your reader and the person who's going to buy your book than Amazon does. So that's why automatic ads, they're quick and very, very efficient. So that would be my recommendation. It'll ask you what you want to bid per click. If you've never done any type of cost per click advertising, it can feel a little scary and you're like, well, I don't even know. Like, what does this actually mean? Like, how do I bid for a click? Basically, what I recommend, if you're not really, really, really strapped for cash, take what Amazon suggests as their suggested bid for your book, shave off about 10 cents from that, so make it 10 cents less, and then hit publish and see what happens. That is the very simplest way to get it going. If you're even more conscientious about, like, I cannot spend $2 without making my money back, you could definitely set the bid even lower. It's just one of the things that could happen and does very regularly happen is your ad just might not really show to anybody. The good news is you only get charged if someone clicks. So it's you haven't really lost anything other than the few minutes of time it took you to set it up.
That's right. And let's explain real quick how this bidding works, because the way that Amazon ads are bid is the same kind of auction that you see on Facebook and Google. So once you understand how ad bidding works, it kind of unlocks all of advertising. And this is one of the reasons why I really like Amazon as a place to get started, because you don't have to do a lot of work, right? Amazon's already read your book. If it's a Kindle, it's already got the full description. If you did a good job on your Amazon page, it knows a lot about your book. And so you can just click automatic. So here's how the bidding works. Everybody is bidding for the inventory collectively. So let's say one person picks your $5 a day bid and they bid $5. And so more than everybody else. So they get their click, but now their budget is full and their ad stops appearing to everyone else. And so for everyone else in that day, the person who's already spent their budget's no longer in the mix. And now other people are bidding. And as the highest bidders fill their budgets, they're no longer in the mix for the ads. And where you rank is also affected by how high you're bidding. So often the highest bidders are at the top of the list. Now, I say often because there is that quality score element that I suspect Amazon has. It makes me a little sad that they haven't officially confirmed it. Google's a little bit more transparent on how their quality score system works. But they would rather somebody click than not click. Even if somebody's bidding $5, but their book is not at all a fit and they just keep appearing and not getting clicks, that's not making Amazon any money. And so they have this other score that they attach, which is how likely they think somebody is to click. And that will also affect your rankings. So that's a very simplified version of how this kind of auction works, but hopefully it gives you an idea of what will happen. And most people find that they don't fill out their bids. So you're bidding $5 a day, but that doesn't mean that you're spending $5 a day on ads on Amazon. Facebook will take every penny you give them.
They sure will.
They will. They've got a vacuum to your bank account. And if you put a $5,000 daily budget because you missed your decimal, they will just all $5,000, they'll find somebody to put it in front of. Amazon doesn't have that kind of inventory to sell ads against. And so more often than not, I see people who are having trouble getting any clicks or spending any money on their Amazon advertising. And that's where they start to boost that daily budget, boost that bid per click just to see what will happen. And the reason why I asked Alana to give the quickest method, this isn't the best method, right? If you go through her course, you'll learn about the manual targeting and you'll learn how to get really deep into here. But with this sort of thing, it's better to launch with something and start to fiddle with it than it is to become an expert before you do your first one, because you learn best by doing. And so get an ad out there, start to play with it. And as you learn more, you learn how to do multiple campaigns and how to make the ads better and more things like that.
Exactly. And because, like you said, most people are starting with a $5 a day daily budget and not even spending that much, right? Like, it's very possible that if you follow those steps and you make like three different auto ads for your book, it's very possible that in a month you will have spent like 25 cents, right? So the good news, it's hard to get traction at first for a lot of people, but it's even harder to lose money, right? It's not like you're going to set something up and boom, you've lost $500 in a day and you didn't see it coming. You're going to know after you've spent $20, you're going to know if you have seen that in increased sales, right? And so that's another real benefit that makes Amazon ads very beginner friendly.
So now let's say I've published my campaign and I set a $5 a day budget. So it's a max of $150. And I come back after 30 days and I've spent $100 on ads. So how do I know if that was money well spent?
Yeah. So the Amazon Ads dashboard gives you pretty decent reporting. If you read books written like 4 or 5 years ago about Amazon ads, or you take trainings that are like over 3 years old, you will probably be concerned and be like, oh, the dashboard's really inaccurate. It's probably not perfect, but it's actually pretty good. It is good enough. I'm spending thousands of dollars a month on my ad campaigns, and I'm going by what I see in my dashboard. So I think my highest month I spent maybe $7,000 or $8,000. Like, I'm happy to trust at that type of budget that the numbers that are being reported back to me by Amazon actually are accurate. So here's some of the numbers that Amazon will give you. They'll give you your number of orders. That's how many actual units of your book got sold. They will give you your sales.
And does that include KU checkouts, or is that just sales?
That will be something different. That's just people who buy a paperback or an ebook. They'll give you your sales in a dollar amount. The only thing to keep in mind is that is actually the retail value. That's how much Amazon has collected. So if I spend $100 and my sales shows $110, I'm going to be really, really excited until you think about, oh, my royalty is, let's say it's a $3.99 ebook. My royalty is 70% of that. And so, you know, you have to shave off at least a little bit of what you see in sales. They do give you page reads. The way that works is if somebody clicks on your book and adds it to their KU library, if your book is in Kindle Unlimited, Amazon Ads will track how many pages they read for up to 14 days. So, if you have a book in KU and I see your ad, I click on it, and in 12 days I read the whole thing, you're going to see 300 page reads or whatever your equivalent is. But we know a lot of readers don't read that fast. Some readers will put something in their KU library and not get to it for a month. So in those cases, the good news is that the numbers that you see in your Amazon Ads dashboard are never higher than they actually are, right? They're always going to be either like completely accurate, or they're going to be underreported because of some of the lag in reporting, things like that. One thing that gets authors confused is you might see a sale in your ads dashboard and you're going to be so excited and you're going to run to KDP, and KDP is not going to show a sale, and you're going to be like, what's going on? So KDP reports paperback sales when the book is shipped. Amazon ads report the sale when the customer checks out. So if you see a discrepancy, nobody's cheating you out of money. They each report in slightly different ways. But those are some of the numbers that you get back in your Amazon ads dashboard, and a really useful number they give you. You have to do one calculation, but basically you take the number of order of clicks, which they'll give you. So that's how many people clicked on your ad. And you divide that by the number of orders, which is how many books you sold. That number right there is a really good indication of the health of your sales page, because Amazon ads cannot sell your book. Their job is to get someone to your book sales page on Amazon. And so then it's up to things like your cover, your blurb, your metadata, your reviews, everything you've got on your sales page. And so, in general, I think a decent place to start is once you've gotten, let's call it 150 clicks, measure how many orders you get. So again, you take the number of clicks and you divide it by the number of orders. If it's taking you a lot more than 30 clicks to get one sale, you might want to look at your sales page, right? Cover, it's probably the most important. Blurb is probably second most important. And everything that goes along with that. If you're getting like 10 clicks per sale or better, you're doing really, really good. And this can also be really good information. Like, let's say you're thinking about changing your cover. The way you would do that is you would measure that clicks to sales for a month under the old cover, you wouldn't change anything else up and don't do it around any big holidays or things like that. But basically then you change the cover and let's say your new cover, you get 15 clicks on average will get you one sale and your old cover took you 20 clicks per average to get one sale. Well, that's a really good indication that your new cover is working better for you.
One of the most common things I see happen when an author starts advertising is they end up getting a new cover because it's really easy to get your friends and family and fellow authors to tell you your cover is good. But when you actually place your book up for ads and you see just how many clicks you've got to get to convince somebody to buy your book, it leads covers the number one, like you said, and it's the most common, especially if you're new or if you cheaped out on the cover. But you can spend a lot of money on a cover that still doesn't work from a marketing perspective.
Well, and sadly, cover trends can change, you know, like I feel especially bad for romance authors because I almost think of romance covers as being like a seasonal wardrobe. Like I have a couple friends who recover their books two or three times a year just to keep up with trends. I hate the cover process. I would never do that, but some people do.
Well, no, and romance is very driven by that. It's like, oh, what's the color coming out of Paris, right? What's resonating in them in the market? Fortunately, most genres aren't quite that intense in terms of the fads, but it is true that the covers change. And that's actually one of the fascinating things if you look at the different editions of What to Expect When You're Expecting. Because that book first came out in 1984, and that cover of the 1984 version does not resonate. They change it many times, and you can kind of see trends, because that's one of the best-selling nonfiction books every year. And what works and what doesn't in nonfiction, it's very telling. But this is one of those things that you'll need to budget for because you're like, spending $500 for another cover, that's really expensive. I'm like, well, if it cuts your cost of reader acquisition in half, you only need to acquire, you know, maybe a few hundred additional readers, which you can do with your advertising. And you've already paid for that new cover, and now you're getting readers cheaper into the future, and it becomes a really good investment. And now you've learned how to make a better cover.
Right. And how to measure it. Well, and the other thing that I see authors do, and I totally did this, it was like I started ads, and within a month, I had bumped up my retail price for my ebooks. And that's pretty normal, too, because if it's costing you, you know, somewhere in the range of 45 to 65 cents to get a click, that's not an abnormal range. And if it's taking you 30 clicks to make a sale, you know, I'm not going to do the live math, but if your book is at $5.99, it's a lot easier to make profit than if your book's at $1.99, you know, given those kinds of numbers.
And you're exactly right, because that's what's causing prices to go up, which is good because indies had been, before advertising started, in a race to the bottom, right? Like it used to be ebooks were all $9.99, and then suddenly they were $8.99, and then they were $7.99. Now you've got indie authors trying to make a living with 99-cent books, or they're making 25 cents a copy. That does not ever turn into money.
No. And, you know, like I've been doing Amazon ads long enough that I remember the days of like 10, 15 cent clicks. I don't remember the days of like 2 to 5 cent clicks, which did exist, but I'm very glad we're no longer in those days because it means that the people who are continuing to run ads are the people who have that good conversion. They're the people who are selling books. If you could get a 2 cent click, you can have a really, really amateur book and still expect a profit. Now, because we're not getting 5 cent clicks or 10 cent clicks, our books are being put alongside very professional looking books. And that elevates it for sure.
Yeah, the level of quality needed to succeed is much higher than it used to be. I remember even before the advertising started, there was the empty Kindle days where people were buying their very first Kindles and they had no ebooks because they just bought their very first Kindle and they were just scarfing down everything they could get if it was cheap. And so all you had to do to be successful in 2008, 2009, 2010 was just be cheap because the traditional books were all really highly priced. And now there's a flood of cheap books. Being cheap alone isn't going to get you the attention that it used to be. There's still room for discounting and price promotions and price pulsing that can work as a part of your overall mix, but it's not a cheat code. It's not like all you have to do is this one simple trick and you can be a millionaire. Not that it was ever that way, but it's less that way now where it requires sophistication. So give us some tips on how we can become more sophisticated in our advertising. So we started advertising, we clicked automatic, and we went with all the defaults. What are some of the first things that we can start to do to improve the quality and efficiency of our ads?
So be patient. It can take time. Don't expect to make like one or two ads. At this moment, I probably have like a couple hundred live ads going. So it does take time to bump things up. Another tip is once you find an ad that works, your instinct might be, oh, I'm so happy I found something that works. Let me increase my bids. Well, then you're just eating into profit. So find what works. Pay attention to what works. So I think about it like this. There are, let's say there's maybe about six to eight different types of sponsored product ads you can make, different types of targeting and things like that. As a beginner, do two or three of all of them. See what happens. And then once you find the one or two types of ads that work really, really well, keep doing more of those. You are absolutely welcome to ignore people if they tell you, like, you can only have one ad per book, or you can only have, you know, like one keyword, never repeat a keyword. All of that can be completely ignored. So basically, you find what works. And then once you're ready to scale it up, just keep on making more ads like that. Don't get so caught up in the numbers. Basically, look at how much you've spent in your Amazon ads dashboard. Look at how many units they've told you that you've sold, or that sales number that gives you the retail price. Account for like your read through. So for example, if I'm just advertising book one of my 9-book series and I spend $100, but I only make $80, I'm going to keep that ad going because I know that I get it back in the read through. So do enough math that you know kind of the value of, if somebody buys book one, how many of them go on to buy book two, and so on. Look at your price. See if your price makes sense as somebody who is now paying per click. Look at your read through. I know a big one for me was when I changed up the back matter for the books in my series. And I didn't change anything else. I didn't change covers or blurbs. I just made it more enticing for them to want to read the next book in the series. And that took me from earning about $8. Every time someone bought book one, I would get an average of about $8 across the whole series, to like $13 to $15. So once you start really paying per click, you want to be as efficient as you can. You want to be paying attention to things like your read through. If you have a series, you want to be paying attention to how many clicks does it take to get you a sale. If you make this tweak or change to your book description, is that going to make your conversion better? And treat it as a, just like a fun little experiment. This, like I said, nobody's going to have to lose hundreds of dollars to know whether it's going to work for you or not. In my early days, it felt like playing something like Candy Crush, because it felt like, wow, I'm just like, I'm putting in some money and I'm getting more money. Like, this is pretty exciting. So treat it as a little bit fun. Don't try to understand the algorithm. You're going to come across confusing things. Like, in one of my ads, this is hypothetical, but I see this all the time. Like, one of my ads might have the keyword Christian suspense book, and that might be like the best keyword in the world. That same ad might have Christian suspense books, and that might lose me like $30, right? Like, I don't spend tons of time pulling my hair out wondering why. I'm just like, okay, that was weird. And so then you can just turn that keyword off. So it can turn into a time suck. It can turn into something you get really anxious about. I encourage you to treat it as just kind of like a, let's see what happens here. So those are my tips for people diving in.
I have a few tips. One is realize that prices rise and fall. So you're bidding against everybody else who's bidding for the ads. And as some big course that teaches Amazon advertising lets out, thousands of new authors are dumped into the advertising market. Right. And so there's often a temporary jump in prices, and there's events that can cause prices to rise and fall. So for instance, if Amazon's doing a big promotion, right, and they're like, oh, it's Amazon Day, and they're buying a lot of TV ads that are bringing people to Amazon, the inventory of page views that they can sell goes up. And so if people aren't increasing their bids, the price will go down for you mm-hmm. because there's all these new people spending time on Amazon. And so there's lots of things that cause the price to go up and down. So don't freak out too much over a bad day and don't celebrate too much over a good day. Right? You got to average those numbers. Take it in stride. And I really liked, Alana, what you were talking about it kind of experimenting it and treating it like a game, because that sense of play, that sense of discovery, I think is really key.
Yeah.
Only put money into advertising that you're willing to lose, right? Don't take your mortgage payment for next month and put it into ads hoping that you'll get it back, because you may not, especially at first, right? When some of you, when you heard that Alana was spending $7,000 a month on ads, you fell out of your chair. But she didn't start spending that money, and she's not really spending that money. She's spending last month's money that came in on ads, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're spending a lot of money on ads. You're making a lot of sales in books, and you're taking some of last month's money, and you're spending it this month, and you're going to take some of this month's money, and you're going to spend it next month. And so you build up a war chest that you get to keep re-spending over and over again. Also, Alana alluded to this, but I want to underline this again. Write more books. So, you know, if your first book, you're just breaking even and you're not making any money, and that's a one standalone book, you're not making any money. But if that's the first book in a 10-book series, and you've got people coming back and buying book two and buying book three, that's a really profitable ad, because you're not having to advertise necessarily to bring that person back over and over again. And another thing I'd recommend is think about your back matter. Those pages after the end, and you give an incentive for readers to join your email list. So you can grow your email list with your Amazon ads. And these are the very best email subscribers you'll ever get, because they've already paid money for one of your books. So when you email them and say, hey, guess what? Book three, the conclusion of the trilogy, it just released today. And they've already bought books one and two. They're going to say, shut up and take my money. And they're going to click buy and you're going to get the full price for that person. So I'm going to just mention the tactics real quick, and we'll link in the blog version of this episode to episodes that talk about the tactic. But the first tactic is to have a reader magnet, so a prequel or some kind of novella that's in your story world or with at least one of the characters in the book they just read, and then you feature it in the back matter. And we have a whole episode on back matter, and we have lots of episodes on reader magnets. You don't always want to try to promote your email newsletter in your back matter. There are other things to do, and we talk about those other things that you can do. But you can grow your email list from people who bought your book on Amazon. And it could be as simple as a letter at the end saying, hey, thank you so much for reading this book. By the way, if you want to hear more from me or about be the first to hear about new books, go to mywebsite.com to learn more. And all of those things will help make your writing business more profitable over time, because your readers that come in from advertising are going to be less profitable per book than the readers who buy your book from clicking a link on your email newsletter. And so the more you can shift them over, the more profitable they will be as a reader. The other tip I have is to take a course on Amazon advertising. Investing in some training can be a really good investment. Part of the reason I like having Alana on for interviews and for webinars is that I get really good feedback from my listeners who go through her course and get good results themselves. And that's really how I judge a teacher. It's not how much success they have themselves. Because if Alana, if you were terrible at your own ads, but your students had great results, you'd still be a great teacher, right?
Well, perfect.
Yeah. And if you were amazing at your own ads, but your students were all failing, you'd be a terrible teacher, right? What matters is what kind of results your students get. And so Alana's not asking me to say this, but I've had her students that I've sent her way come back to me with very positive things to say. And so Alana has a course, Amazon Ads to Sell More Books. She has a course on Facebook Ads. She has a lot of programs. We'll link to them in the show notes for this episode. And I do encourage you to check those out. SuccessfulWriter.net is her website. Alana Terry, thank you for joining us today on the Novel Marketing Podcast.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
I'd like to thank the new patrons who became a patron in the month of March. That is Mark Redmond, Laura Abradour, Carolyn, Jaina Riediger, Dave Slick, John, Kelly Laquisquit, Jill, Jane Curry Weber, Candace James, and Susan Jenkins. Thank you so much for being a patron and for helping keep the Novel Marketing Podcast on the air. I could not do this without the patrons who find this podcast valuable. The Novel Marketing Podcast is a production of AuthorMedia.com. Our guest today is Alana Terry. Our producer is Lori Christine. The audio engineer is William Umstadt. Blogification by Shauna Lettler. And you can find that blog version of this episode at AuthorMedia.com/413. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr., your host, saying thank you for listening and live long and prosper.